Hi everybody, it gives me great pleasure to welcome you to Chapter 8, Rural Entrepreneurship and Innovation in Agribusiness. This subject excites me deeply because it represents the untapped energy of rural India, where tradition meets innovation and where the grassroots enterprises can transform entire communities. My name is Vaibhav Samant. I am a business leader with over 2 decades of experience across sales leadership, business transformation and entrepreneurship. Over my career, I have worked across industries such as consumer goods, retail, telecom, and consulting, leading large-scale operations and transformation for both startups and corporates. Today, I lead a fast-scaling agritech venture, Revasa Farms, that is building future-ready supply chain and sustainable ecosystems in India's fruits and vegetable sector. Why is this chapter important? Because rural entrepreneurship is not just about small businesses, it's about creating jobs where they are needed the most, reducing migration to cities and building self-reliance at the village level. Innovation here is not an option. It is the only way to ensure sustainability in farming, agribusiness and rural livelihoods. With that introduction, let us begin by first defining what rural entrepreneurship really means. Rural entrepreneurship is essentially about turning local resources and skills into opportunities. It is about people in villages identifying gaps, solving problems, and building enterprises that serve both local and wider markets. Unlike large corporates, rural entrepreneurs usually begin with limited resources but immense determination. Think of a woman in a small village who starts a dairy with just 2 cows. Over time, she brings in her neighbors, scales the production, and then connects with urban distributors. What started as a survival turns into a thriving enterprise supporting dozens of families. That is rural entrepreneurship in action. It addresses the critical challenges: unemployment, poverty, and dependence on agriculture alone. More importantly, it fosters self-reliance. When rural youth realize that they can build business in their own communities, they are less likely to migrate in search of uncertain city jobs. At its core, rural entrepreneurship is not charity or subsidy-driven. It is value creation. It makes use of local raw materials, indigenous knowledge, and cultural strengths. When paired with access to finance, training, and markets, the small sparks can ignite large-scale rural transformation. Now that we have seen its essence, let's look more closely at the unique nature of rural entrepreneurship. Rural entrepreneurship is unique because it is deeply tied to local conditions. It is resource-based. Farmers, artisans, and small traders leverage what is naturally available around them. A farmer may use local bamboo to create furniture, while another may start a business drying and packaging seasonal mangoes for off-season. It is locally driven. Entrepreneurs are not building businesses for Silicon Valley. They are solving immediate challenges for their communities. A young entrepreneur in Bihar started a solar-powered rice mill, so farmers don't have to travel 30 kilometers for processing. This was just not business, it was the lifeline for the village. Most rural enterprises are small in scale, but that is also their strength. Because they are micro or small units, they remain flexible and sustainable. A group of women making pickles for local markets can quickly expand to regional distribution if demand rises. And that's without huge capital cost. The beauty of rural entrepreneurship is that it blends ambition with pragmatism. It is grounded in the soil, yet capable of scaling when opportunity knocks. Having understood its nature, let's now explore the different varieties of rural enterprises that exist across India. Rural entrepreneurship is not limited to farming alone. It spans agribusiness, crafts, and services. In agribusiness, we see dairy farms, poultry units, and food processing ventures. For example, a poultry farmer in Andhra Pradesh supplying eggs to nearby towns has created steady local employment while keeping prices affordable to its consumers. In crafts, rural artisans are reviving traditional skills. From handloom weaving in Assam to pottery in Rajasthan, these ventures preserve cultural heritage while also generating income. E-commerce has made it possible for handcrafted products to reach buyers in New York or Tokyo, proving that rural doesn't mean small in ambition. Service-based enterprises are also growing. Rural tourism is a great example. Villages in Kerala and Himachal Pradesh are now welcome tourists to experience local culture, food, and farming. This not only provides income, but also instills pride in rural heritage. Each of these enterprises may look small in isolation, but together they create a diversified rural economy. The strength of rural India lies in this variety: agribusiness for stability, crafts for culture, and services for growth. Together, they form a mosaic of opportunities. These varieties serve a bigger purpose. So what are the core goals of rural entrepreneurship? The goals of rural entrepreneurship goes far beyond profit. The first is employment generation. In villages where job opportunities are scarce, even a small enterprises can create livelihoods. A dairy cooperative may employ 20 women, but those jobs keep children in school and households financially stable. The second goal is poverty alleviation. By mobilizing local talent and creating small but steady incomes, entrepreneurship directly tackles the root cause of poverty. A farmer who adds value by processing turmeric into powder earns significantly more than selling raw produce. The third goal is economic self-reliance. When rural communities generate their own income streams, they depend less on the government and migration to cities. Villages that once sent youth away to urban centers can now retain the talent locally. These goals are not abstract. They translate into real outcomes: fewer farmer suicides, reduced distress stress, and stronger communities. Rural entrepreneurship is not just about small businesses. It is about dignity, empowerment, and a future where rural India stands tall on its own feet. And to achieve these goals, entrepreneurs often do something very powerful. They combine traditional knowledge with modern business practices. One of the most powerful aspects of rural entrepreneurship is its ability to combine traditional knowledge with modern business models. Rural India is rich in indigenous skills, weaving herbal medicines, food preservations, and farming wisdoms passed down for generations. But tradition alone cannot compete in today's markets. Innovation bridges the gap. For example, artisans in Kutch continue to use centuries-old embroidery techniques. By collaboration with designers and selling online, their work now fetches global recognition and premium prices. Tradition remains intact, but modern business expands reach. In agriculture, tradition crops, rotation, and organic practice are now supported with digital tools. A farmer may still follow ancestral planting cycles, but uses a mobile app for weather updates and soil testing. This blend of old and new creates efficiency without eroding heritage. Sustainability is the thread connecting both. Traditional methods often respected nature. Modern businesses add scalability and market access. Together, they ensure rural enterprises are not only profitable, but also resilient and environmentally sound. Of course, no entrepreneurial ecosystem is complete without policy support. Let us now look at the government schemes that nurture rural entrepreneurship. Government schemes have been the backbone of rural entrepreneurship in India. Not only provide financial support, but also build the infrastructure and skills necessary for success. Programs like the Prime Minister Employment Generation Program, PMEGP, offer subsidies and loans for rural startups, while Mudra Yojana gives microcredit without heavy collateral requirements. Consider a youth in Odisha who wants to set up a small rice milling unit. Without access to capital, the dream would remain on paper. But with PMEGP, he secures funding, buys machinery, and begins generating jobs locally. Stories like his are repeated across the country, proving that the transformative power of these schemes. The government also supports entrepreneurship with training programs in rural institutes, teaching business skills, financial management, and modern production techniques. Infrastructure support, such as better rural roads and reliable electricity, further reduces barriers to business growth. These schemes act as enablers, making entrepreneurship not only a distant dream, but a real possibility for villagers. Yet government alone cannot carry this weight. To make support inclusive and accessible, NGOs and microfinance institutions step in with equally crucial roles. NGOs and microfinance institutions play a complementary role in fostering rural entrepreneurship. Where government schemes may be large-scale but impersonal, NGOs provide hands-on support at the grassroots. Take microfinance. Small loans without heavy collateral have been game changers for women entrepreneurs. In Tamil Nadu, a group of women started a pickle manufacturing enterprise with just rupees 10,000 each from a microfinance cooperative. Today, they employ dozens of other women and supply to supermarkets in nearby cities. NGOs also run capacity building workshops. This covers skills such as bookkeeping, branding, and customer engagement, areas where rural entrepreneurs often lack expertise. In Bundelkhand, an NGO introduced digital literacy classes for youth, enabling them to sell farm produce via WhatsApp groups and online marketplaces. Another role is market linkage. NGOs frequently connect rural producers with urban buyers, ensuring fair prices and reduce dependency on middlemen. This builds both income and confidence. Together, NGOs and Microfinance Institute create a support system that bridges the gap between policy on paper and business in practice. When government, NGOs, and microfinance institutions combine efforts, the results are visible, not just in incomes, but also in migration, patterns, and community strength. The impact of rural entrepreneurship on development is profound. First, it creates balanced regional growth. When enterprises emerge in villages, they reduce the economic disparity between urban and rural areas. In Maharashtra, dairy clusters supported by cooperatives have generated incomes comparable to urban jobs, slowing the rural-urban gap. Second, entrepreneurship reduces urban migration. Many rural youth migrate to cities in search of work, often ending up in low-paying or unstable jobs. But when opportunities exist locally, say through a food processing unit or an agritourism venture, they prefer to stay back. A rural BPO in Andhra Pradesh, for instance, employed over 200 youths who might otherwise have moved to Hyderabad. Finally, entrepreneurship empowers communities. Women's self-help groups and marginalized farmers gain a stronger voice when they control their own enterprises. Economic strength translates into social confidence and better bargaining power. Thus, rural entrepreneurship does not generate income. It transforms societies, creating resilient villages where people thrive rather than merely survive. Let us pause here and bring this point together in a summary of key takeaways and the next steps needed to strengthen this movement. The story of rural entrepreneurship is so far is clear. It harnesses local resources, combines tradition with innovation, and flourishes when supported by government and NGOs. It generates employment, reduces poverty, and slows migration, all while building dignity in rural life. The next steps must focus on scaling what works. First, training and capacity building must be enhanced. Without the right skills, even the best financial support cannot be fully utilized. Second, financial access must go deeper. Millions still lack affordable credit, and expanding microfinance and digital banking can close this gap. Third, public-private partnerships need to be fostered. For example, private agri-tech firms can bring digital platforms into villages while the government ensures internet connectivity and training. Fourth, market linkages must be prioritized because producing more has little value if farmers cannot sell at the right price. Finally, monitoring impact is crucial. Tracking outcomes ensures policies evolve with real needs rather than staying static. With this foundation, let's now shift gears and explore the opportunities and challenges facing rural entrepreneurship today. Rural entrepreneurship is full of promises, but equally full of obstacles. On one hand, there are abundant opportunities. Rural India is rich in natural resources, from fertile land and water bodies to handicraft traditions. The demand for organic and local products is rising, and government incentives like Startup India and Mudra loans reduce barriers for entry. Digitization opens new markets to e-commerce and mobile connectivity. But challenges loom large. Infrastructure deficiencies such as poor roads or erratic electricity raise costs and limit scalability. Financial barriers also persist, as many rural entrepreneurs struggle to access formal loans due to lack of collateral. Skills in marketing, digital tools, and management remain scarce. Socio-cultural constraints also play a role. In many villages, women entrepreneurs face gender bias, and conservative mindsets often resist new business models. Thus, rural entrepreneurship is a paradox full of potential, but often hindered by real constraints. Success lies in recognizing both sides, the fertile ground for opportunity, and the barriers that must be addressed systematically. To understand this paradox better, let's start with one of the greatest advantages rural entrepreneurs possess: their access to abundant natural resources and government support. Rural India is blessed with rich resources, fertile soils, rivers, forests, livestock, and traditional skills. These are the raw materials for countless enterprises. Agro-based industries like food processing, handicrafts, or herbal products all draw strength from these local assets. A farmer in Kerala turning jackfruit into packet chips is a perfect example of resource-based innovation. What magnifies this advantage is government support. Schemes like PMEGP, Startup India, and Mudra loans provide subsidies, training, and easy credit. They reduce entry barriers and give confidence to first-time entrepreneurs. A young graduate in Bihar secured a Mudra loan to start a mushroom cultivation unit. With training support, he scaled quickly, selling both locally and through online platforms. The key is sustainability. Resources must be used wisely, and incentives must encourage responsible practices. Over-extraction of groundwater or unsustainable logging can damage long-term prospects. When natural abundance meets government incentives, rural entrepreneurship becomes not only feasible but profitable. This is the springboard for innovation and resilience. Building on these resources and incentives, another critical enabler for entrepreneurs today is digital connectivity and emerging markets. One of the most exciting changes in rural entrepreneurship is the rise of emerging markets and digital connectivity. Rural India is no longer isolated. With growing purchasing power, rural consumers now demand diverse goods and services from packaged foods to mobile accessories. This creates a local market for entrepreneurs right at their doorstep. At the same time, the internet has opened doors like never before. Mobile penetration allows even small farmers to market their products online. A vegetable grower in Uttar Pradesh now sells directly to WhatsApp groups, reaching urban households without leaving his village. Platforms like Amazon Karigar or Flipkart Samarth have connected rural artisans to national buyers. Digital tools also solve practical problems. Apps like Kisan Suvidha provide weather forecast and mandi prices, helping farmers make smarter decisions. Digital payments through UPI or mobile wallets means quicker, safe transactions and a digital record that helps them access former credit later. Connectivity reduces distances and widens horizons. It allows rural entrepreneurs to think beyond their immediate geography and tap into state, national, or even global markets. Alongside connectivity, another trend reshaping rural entrepreneurship is the active participation of youth, bringing fresh energy and innovation. Youth are the game changers in rural entrepreneurship. With limited formal jobs available in villages, many young people are turning to entrepreneurship out of necessity and ambition. And they bring with them new ideas, energy, and digital savviness. For instance, in Madhya Pradesh, a 24-year-old entrepreneur started a solar pump rental service. Instead of every farmer investing in pumps, they now rent at affordable rates, saving money and conserving water. This model was possible only because youth saw opportunity where older generations saw difficulty. Technology adoption is another area. Young entrepreneurs are more comfortable using drones, apps, and e-commerce platforms. They quickly adapt to market trends, whether it's packing organic produce for urban millennials or promoting products on Instagram. Their participation also reduces migration. Instead of moving to cities for uncertain jobs, youth see entrepreneurship as a way to build stable futures at home. And when youth thrive, they inspire peers, creating a multiplier effect. Harnessing this demographic dividend is critical. If supported with training and access to credit, rural youth can transform India's entrepreneurial landscape. But while youth and digital tools show promise, we must recognize that infrastructure deficiencies still hold back rural enterprise. No matter how motivated an entrepreneur is, poor infrastructure creates a ceiling on growth. Roads are a prime example. A farmer in Jharkhand may grow excellent vegetables, but without good roads, he spends hours reaching the mandi, losing both freshness and profits. Electricity is another barrier. Erratic supply affects everything from cold storage to small processing units. In many villages, enterprises cannot scale because they cannot rely on consistent power. Similarly, lack of storage facilities means perishable goods rot before they can be sold, wasting both food and income. Transport and logistics also remain weak. High freight cost and unreliable services discourage rural businesses from reaching distant markets. This is why many remain confined to local sales, unable to capture higher margins elsewhere. These infrastructure deficiencies don't just restrict profits, they dampen motivation. If every business decision faces the roadblock of poor connectivity or power cuts, fewer people will take the risk to start enterprises at all. Beyond this physical infrastructure, financial and skill barriers also present significant obstacles to rural entrepreneurship. Finance is often described as the lifeblood of business, and in rural areas, it is where many dreams get stuck. Most entrepreneurs lack collateral or a formal credit history, making it difficult to access loans. Banks hesitate, fearing defaults, and as a result, potential enterprises never see the light of the day. Even when loans are available, rural entrepreneurs often struggle with repayment cycles that do not align with agriculture seasons. The mismatch creates stress rather than relief. Skills are another gap. Many rural entrepreneurs excel in production but lack knowledge in marketing, digital tools, or financial management. For instance, a farmer may produce high-quality turmeric but fail to brand, package, and position it in urban markets. Without these skills, enterprises lose competitiveness. NGOs and training programs have begun bridging this gap, but the scale is still small compared to the need. Finance and skills are like two wings of a bird. Without both, rural entrepreneurship cannot take flight. Even when finance and skills are addressed, market connectivity challenges remain a major hurdle. Markets are at the heartbeat of entrepreneurship, but rural enterprises often struggle to connect. Distance from urban centers makes it harder to sell products at competitive prices. A weaver in Odisha may create executive handloom sarees, but if she depends only on local buyers, she earns far less than what she would have earned in Delhi or Mumbai. Supply chain adds to the difficulty. Poor transport increases costs, delay deliveries, and reduce customer satisfaction. In perishable goods like fruits and vegetables, even a day's delay can lead to spoilage and financial loss. Visibility is another issue. Without branding or marketing, rural products often remain unknown to larger audiences. For example, honey produced in tribal Jharkhand is pure and organic, but struggles to find shelf space in organized retail due to lack of formal certifications and packaging. Digital platforms are beginning to change the story, but adoption is uneven. Entrepreneurs who adopt to online sales thrive, while others remain disconnected. Until markets become accessible, rural enterprises will continue to operate below their potential. And finally, even when markets exist, social and cultural constraints often limit who can participate fully in entrepreneurship. Socio and cultural norms can be invisible barriers, but they are powerful. Gender bias is one such barrier. In many rural areas, women face restrictions on mobility, access to finance, and decision-making. A woman may have the skills to run a tailoring unit, but without family approval or access to credit, her enterprise never starts. Family responsibilities also weigh in heavily. Domestic duties and caregiving disproportionately fall on women, leaving them with little time to manage business. This reduces the overall entrepreneurial pool and keeps half the population underutilized. Conservative attitudes are another challenge. Rural communities may resist new ideas, weaving innovation with suspicion. For example, attempts to introduce agrotourism in some regions were initially resisted because villagers fear outsiders would disrupt traditions. Overcoming these constraints require cultural exchange alongside policy support. Success stories help when one woman breaks barrier and succeeds, others are encouraged. Self-help groups have played a big role in this, showing that collective support can overcome individual hesitation. Social transformation is slow, but it is essential. Rural entrepreneurship can only reach its true potential when every capable individual, man or woman, has the freedom to participate fully. Now that we have seen the opportunities and challenges, let's move forward towards the strategies that can empower rural entrepreneurs to succeed. Opportunities and challenges give us the context, but what matters most are the strategies that can empower rural entrepreneurs to succeed. These strategies must be practical, inclusive, and long-term. The first is targeted policy interventions. Policies cannot be generic. They must address infrastructure bottlenecks, access to finance, and skill gaps simultaneously. For instance, a rural entrepreneur running a honey processing unit in Chhattisgarh needs not just loans, but also training in quality certification and access to markets. Without this holistic approach, the enterprise struggles. Second, capacity building is vital. Training in digital tools, bookkeeping, and marketing can transform outcomes. A group of farmers in Maharashtra adopted WhatsApp-based trading after training, and within months, their earnings were 20% more by cutting off the middlemen. Third, collaborative partnerships are powerful. Government schemes provide funding, private firms bring technology, and NGOs contribute training. When these actors work in silos, impact is small, but when they align, rural entrepreneurship flourishes. Finally, sustainability must be embedded. Overuse of resources may give short-term gains, but only sustainable practices ensure long-term prosperity. With this broad strategy in mind, let us now focus specifically on the capacity building as the first pillar of empowerment. Capacity building is about giving entrepreneurs the skill and the confidence to succeed. Rural entrepreneurs often have the drive but lack technical, managerial or digital knowledge. Bridging this gap is transformative. For example, a training program in Karnataka introduced small farmers to drip irrigation techniques. Not only did their yields increase, but they also learned how to calculate cost savings and reinvest profits. Similarly, workshops on branding and packaging taught rural women making papads how to rebrand their product for urban supermarkets. Suddenly, their local snack became a regional success. Digital literacy is equally crucial. Young entrepreneurship trained in social media promotion now run thriving businesses selling pickles or organic vegetables online. One farmer in Gujarat reported that his Facebook page brought him direct customers from cities he had never even visited. Capacity building is not just about skills, it's about confidence. When rural entrepreneurs believe that they can compete, they innovate fearlessly. But training alone is not enough. To make these skills useful, we need collaborative partnerships that brings together governments, NGOs, and the private sector. No single actor can drive rural entrepreneurship in isolation. Collaborative partnerships are essential. Government brings resources and authority. NGOs bring trust and local access, and the private sector brings technology and markets. When all these forces combine, real change happens. We have seen this in Rajasthan. A partnership between the government, an NGO, and a private solar company created decentralized energy hubs for rural enterprises. Farmers could now run cold storage units, milling machines, reducing wastage, and increasing profits. Another example is dairy. In Gujarat, government support for cooperatives, NGO training on hygiene, and private sector investments in distribution networks created the Amul success story, an ecosystem that empowered millions of small farmers. These partnerships not only pool resources, but also ensure accountability. NGOs act as bridges, ensuring government programs actually reach the beneficiaries. The private sector ensures innovations don't remain pilots but scale into sustainable businesses. Collaboration is not optional. It is a backbone of rural transformation. With strategies like capacity building and partnership in place, let's bring these insights together into the key takeaways and the next steps. The strategies we have discussed point to some clear takeaways. First, rural areas are not backward, they are rich with untapped assets. Entrepreneurship here can be a powerful driver of inclusive growth. Second, barriers like infrastructure, finance, and skills must be tackled together. Piecemeal approaches won't work. Next steps should include scaling the training programs using digital platform, expanding microfinance with lower collateral requirements, and fostering a public-private partnership for infrastructure and technology. For example, rural entrepreneurs can be onboarded to government e-marketplaces, gemmed with training from NGOs and support from banks. Monitoring is another next step. Without data, policies risk becoming outdated. Measuring impact regularly helps refine programs to serve real needs. The overall message is clear. Rural entrepreneurship has the potential to transform India's economy, but it requires coordinated, inclusive, and sustainable strategies. With this strategic foundation in place, let us now shift gears and explore innovations in agribusiness, the technologies and models reshaping rural enterprises today. Agribusiness is being reshaped by a wave of innovation. Tools like precision farming, drones, and mobile apps are helping farmers increase efficiency, while e-commerce platforms connect producers directly to buyers. Food processing technologies add value, creating higher incomes from the same produce. Consider the rise of platforms like Dehat and Krishi Hub. They allow farmers to bypass the middleman, get transparent pricing, and even receive doorstep delivery of inputs. A farmer in Bihar told me that through such platforms, he sells produce faster and at better rates, reducing his dependency on local traders. Food processing is another game changer. Turning raw mangoes into puree or mangoes into packaged pulp creates products with longer shelf life and higher margins. Small rural processing units supported by government grants are proving to be income stabilizers for entire communities. Innovation is not limited to technology. It includes new business models. Cooperatives, farmer-producer organizations, and direct-to-consumer online sales are redefining how agriculture connects to markets. Let's now zoom in on the major area of innovation: agritech solutions that are revolutionizing the farming practices.